Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, though, a year on from Hamas's October 7th attacks, people across the world are remembering last year's attacks in which Hamas killed about 1,200 people and took 251 hostage. Since the 7th of October, nearly 42,000 people have been killed during Israel's campaign in Gaza. Relatives of the hostage families have been appealing for information on their loved ones today on the first anniversary of the war in Gaza. And later in the show, we'll be speaking to a doctor who's volunteered in Gaza and is now working on the front lines in Lebanon. But shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Ilan Keshet, who is the cousin of Yarden Bibas, who was abducted with his wife Shiri and their two children, Ariel, now 5, and Kafir, 20 months. They were taken captive on October 7th from kibbutz near Oz. I began by asking Ilan about the significance of today's anniversary.
I think it's a bit complicated because on the one hand, of course, it's a very emotional day for us because we never thought that it would take more than one year to solve this issue, and the time sensitivity is still there, and our chances of seeing them again is getting really smaller every day. So it's, of course, it's very difficult. But on the other hand, like, every day is the 7th of October for us since then, because they're still not here and we feel it every day. It's not like we need a reminder or a milestone to concentrate on that. Like, every day they're missing, every day they're not here. So, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your cousin Yarden and his family, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so Yarden is my cousin, and of course I know him since forever. He's a bit older than me. He's just a very good man, you know. He's a very sweet man. He has a great sense of humor, and he's a very smiling person. A very proud father. I'll talk about it later, but he's a very simple man that really just wants to live like quietly with his family. He's a welder, so it's all about like metal stuff and stuff like that. And when we met, we used to talk about that, about we watched YouTube together, and he showed me like a metal artist that inspired him, that he wants to make beautiful creations like they do. He's a very fun person to be around, and the last time I saw them was, it was a holiday. We're all like together around the family dinner and family table, and Ariel, he was then 4 years old. He really liked trucks, like toy trucks and stuff like that, and he was playing, and he is a very extroverted person. Like a kid, he likes attention and he's very confident. So he plays with his truck and he wants everyone to see this. And Yarden is looking at him with his proud eyes all the time. And we are playing with him. And he's really, I think, is one of maybe the happiest kid I ever saw in my life, really. Just smiling all the time, playing all the time. He likes Batman. He likes to. He always dresses like costumes of Batman, and unfortunately, it became a symbol. And Kfir, Kfir was so tiny back then, you know. I mean, most of his life he's in captivity, and before this, you know, he was. I saw him when he was like half a year old. So he's a very trusting baby, you can say. Like he's not. He doesn't cry a lot, and he's not making a drama when he's being passed around. Like even. Even the very first time I saw him, I just, you know, played with him, made faces, and he is very quick to connect. They're a really pleasant family. Like, you know, we have a big family, and they are one of the of those people that you know that when you know that they are coming, you're happy, right? Because yeah. They have this energy about them, this... They just make you smile, and Shiri was the boss. Okay, like if you wanted to set a date with them, with the family, or make plans, she's the one to talk to. She has a great sense of humor. Again, it's like your Dan, they're very fitting, and she's a very private person. Like we are always thinking when she'll be back, if she'll be back, like how would she react that she is maybe the most famous hostage, like became such a symbol, and she's the most private person there is. Like no photos on Facebook, not sharing too much outside the family.
I know there was a lot of hope and expectation that the family would be released in the first hostage deal and when there was a temporary ceasefire, and that didn't happen. What do you know about, or what is the latest information you have about the family and how they are doing and whether they have survived the last year?
So unfortunately, there's not a lot that's new. There has been some indications that Yarden is probably alive, but this war, like I think on April and a little bit later again, but it's been a lot of time, and really the situation there is very dire. And for Shiri and the boys, there is no new information at all. No one really knows where they are. There has been some news recently, like generally about the way that Hamas treat the hostages, that unfortunately they have been making their the conditions much worse. It has been said in the forums, in the government forums, that there is intel that the hostages are right now in the worst conditions that there ever was, and Hamas also changed their policy, like the way they're working, like the 6 hostages that have been murdered before they had to leave. So Hamas is also beginning to execute some hostages, which is really scary, and it's really time sensitive. We really have to, like, the world has to come together here to release them unconditionally as fast as possible, those who left and the bodies of those who died there, for the families to have some closure. You know, we are stuck in this limbo for this nightmarish limbo for so long right now, and you can't really go on. You're not supposed to go on. So we really want it to be over.
I know you all celebrated Kfir's first birthday in January 2024. He would have been one, or he was one at that point. I don't know what was that like, and do you think that you will do that again next January?
It's hard to think so far ahead as to January, you know. Anywhere in my life, in our life, it's kind of living day to day. It's hard. Sometimes we have to plan ahead, but it's really hard. It's hard to think on January when they are still not here. Like, it's hard to accept this reality, and it's hard to plan for a reality like this. We're sometimes doing this, but we still haven't talked about next January. But I can say that when Kfir was one, and it was very close to the hundredth day, I think maybe this is a point that myself and many other in my family really broke down, you know, because at first it was very intensive because we did everything on that week all the time. I was in more than a week long delegations to Europe. I was in Berlin, I was in London. I gave a speech in a Trafalgar Square, and it's just you know when it all started, I just thought, all of us thought, okay, it's a complicated situation. It must take a few weeks before they come back, you know, because of the logistics and the dangers and the complications. We never thought it would be this far. We never thought it would go for so long. Yeah. But on the 100th day, I started to think that we are going to see a full year without them, because I saw the way that things are working, and I saw the way that the world is just pushing this issue aside.
And I know that some families of some hostages feel very angry with how the Israeli government has handled things, as well as others. I don't know, do you think that more could have been done by the Israeli government? You know, I know there's been certain points over the last year where hostages' families have felt betrayed.
I feel angry and betrayed on so many levels. And it's for... I feel that everything that I grew... All the values that I grew on were shattered on October 7th. Israeli government, but others as well. I mean, the United Nations, the international community, and the Israeli government... I thought that it's a no-brainer that when completely innocent civilians are being targeted by terrorists and being kidnapped by terrorists, the very first thing that should be done is a very, very strong international, including the Israeli, of course, government, international effort to bring them back as soon as possible. This is the most important thing. This, again, terrorists kidnapped civilians. It's that simple, right? They kidnapped a baby. They butchered their dog. They butchered destroyed their house. They butchered their friends. So, this should be the very basic red line that can't be crossed. And unfortunately, it became politicized. And they are mainly talked about as strategic assets, right? And it drives him mad. Like, Kfir is not the enemy of anyone. Kfir is not a part of the Middle East conflict. Kfir is just a little baby that was kidnapped. Stop trying to politicize it. Stop putting it in context. There is no context for kidnapping babies. So why aren't we doing everything we can to stop this? And I was, by the way, I was in Ireland as well, and I saw pictures of Kfir ripped. Like, how twisted of a human being do you have to be to rip a poster of a kidnapped baby? Are you insane? And this is, and I was very heartbroken when I was in Ireland for this matter. I just can't believe some very basic moral values that unfortunately are not there for too large of the population of the world.
Well, Ilan, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us today. And I know, as I said, it's a difficult day today. And as you've said, it's been a difficult day every day for the last year. So I really do appreciate you taking the time. And hopefully your family, your cousin and his family will yet get back safely.
Yeah, thank you.